is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matusek. Last year, we invited listeners to submit their questions for our first ever Ask a Bishop show with Bishop Adam J. Parker. The bishop was our special guest in October, fielding a wide range of questions. We've received such a great response that we thought we'd do it again. We're very happy to welcome Bishop Parker back for another round of questions on today's episode. These questions were called into Catholic Review Radio or were gathered at special events around the Archdiocese of Baltimore over the last few months. Bishop Parker is an auxiliary bishop of Baltimore who serves as vicar general and moderator of the curia. He was ordained to the priesthood in 2000 and ordained a bishop in 2017. Bishop Parker, it's so great to have you back.
My pleasure, George. It's great to see you today.
Let's get right into the questions. Kicking things off are two questions from some young parishioners. First, we have a question from Lucia.
Hi, my name is Lucia, and I am a seventh grader at Notre Dame Prep. It seems as though the average age for Sunday Masses is in the 70s. What are your ideas to reignite an interest in Sunday Mass for young people, particularly middle schoolers and high schoolers?
Well, thanks, Lucia. That's a great question. And you're right. We do see a lot of people attending Mass today that appear to us to be older, and it seems like many of the younger people aren't there. A couple things come to mind about how we might address this. First is the component of invitation. It's extremely important to invite people into the life of the church. And sometimes the best place to start isn't always with Sunday Mass, but to engage in the life of the church in other ways. One area that comes to mind in particular is the area of service. So as you are involved in your own parish and your own school at NDP, I know that service projects are part of your own formation and upbringing. When you think about those you know who are your own age who may not be coming to Mass, why not invite them first to come and do a service project along with you? It gives the opportunity to open the door, to talk about faith, to talk about why we serve, to talk about relationship with the Lord. And eventually that can lead to that invitation to come to Mass. It's also important as we extend that invitation that we ourselves are expressing why the Mass is important to us, what we receive when we go there. Receiving the sacrament of the Eucharist, our Lord's body and blood, nourishes us and empowers us in our life of faith. And to the extent that we give witness to that to our own peers, we'll certainly inspire interest on their part in coming along with us.
Next up is a question from a student at Mercy High School. Let's hear from Anna.
I'm Anna, a student at Mercy High School, and I go to church at St. Ursula in Parkville. My question for the bishop is, as our world changes, what are some ways you recommend teens can continue to live a life with Christ?
Anna, thanks. That's a great question. It begins with relationship, and you've really hit the nail on the head with this question, because the most important aspect of our faith is our relationship with Jesus Christ. There are many ways that we can deepen and enhance that relationship. One of the ways is by coming to know Him better. And I mean not just coming to know about Him. We certainly learn about Jesus often in our Catholic schools or religious formation programs, but we need to actually get to know Him. And one of the ways that we can enhance our relationship with Him is by studying the Word of God, the Bible. In particular, the New Testament, we get to know Jesus. We hear about His miracles. We read about the things that He taught. We see how many people followed Him. They were inspired by Him. And coming to know Him in a personal way is one way that we can certainly enhance our relationship with Him. And then there are the sacraments. The sacrament of the Eucharist, as I have mentioned previously, helps us to come close to Him in a very tangible way. One thing that I think has been really powerful, especially among young people in recent years, is the experience of the Eucharist, not just in Holy Communion at Mass, but in Eucharistic adoration. As I'm out in the Archdiocese and confirming young people in parishes all the way from Baltimore to Oakland, and I read the letters that confirmation candidates write to me in advance of the confirmation, and oftentimes they'll talk about their retreat experience. Many times that retreat experience includes the opportunity for Eucharistic adoration, where young people have the opportunity to enhance their relationship with Jesus Christ by spending time with Him in the presence of our Lord's body and blood, by worshiping our Lord, adoring Him in the monstrance. That form of prayer can be a very powerful way to deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ and enhance that relationship. Something else that can really help too, though, is sharing the relationship. When we share our relationship with our Lord, it actually deepens our own relationship with Him. What I mean by that is that we are called to be faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ, people who are willing to spread and defend our Catholic faith in what we say, but also in what we do. And as we share that relationship with Him with others, we tell others about why our relationship with Him makes a difference in our own lives, it can deepen our relationship with Him. Thanks, Anna, for a great question.
Next, we have a question for Bishop Parker from a parishioner of Sacred Heart in Glendon.
Hi, my name is Jordan. I'm from Sacred Heart, and my question for the bishop is, what is the most meaningful way to introduce praying the rosary to our young children?
Jordan, thanks for your question, especially about such a powerful devotion as the rosary. I think one of the most captivating aspects of the rosary, especially for young people, are the mysteries. When you think about the various mysteries of the rosary, that can be a really great place to start with young people in particular. As you explain to them what the mysteries are, why they matter, that really does capture the imagination to meditate upon those aspects of the life of Christ, the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I think for young people in particular, that can be one way to enhance their own interest in praying the rosary. Also explaining to them the devotion, where it comes from, and why the repetition of prayers in such a way can help us in our own meditation, our own devotion, and we enhance then our relationship with the Blessed Mother as we pray to her and ask for her intercession. I think it's also important when we explain to young people not just the mysteries, but the various forms of the rosary. You know, we have the luminous mysteries that are more recent, but the sorrowful mysteries, the joyous mysteries, why those mysteries are grouped together and why they matter in our own life of faith. It's also important that we make those mysteries relatable to us now. That's why we meditate upon them, that they help to enhance and deepen our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks, Jordan. Great question.
We have a question for Bishop Parker from a teacher in Western Maryland, which is an area of the Archdiocese I know you know very well since you served there early in your priesthood. So let's listen to this one.
My name is Heidi, and I'm from Bishop Walsh School, and I joined Nativity. My question is, how can we get the bishops to come closer to Western Maryland to be a presence?
Heidi, you're speaking right to me because I do have a great love and devotion to Western Maryland. 25 years ago, when I was first ordained, I was assigned to St. Peter's Parish in Westernport. And having the opportunity to serve there and in other parishes in Allegheny County, in Barton and Lona Coning, I really developed a love for the area and especially for the people. They taught me how to be a priest, and I still maintain the relationship with the parish and parishioners out there to this day. Every time I go back to Western Maryland, for me, it's very much like going home. That's such a spiritual grounding for me. So, Heidi, I take your question not just as a question, but sort of a challenge and an admonition to me personally as one of the bishops to be present in Western Maryland. Oftentimes we refer to that as Mountain Maryland because some people consider Western Maryland Westminster or even Hagerstown. You and I both know that that's not Western Maryland, that's Central. But Mountain Maryland is such a beautiful place with people who are so deeply committed to the faith. So I'm going to rise to that challenge, Heidi, and I will be there. Palm Sunday, I'll celebrate Mass at St. Anne's in Grantsville at 10 a.m. I'll also be there later in the month of April to celebrate confirmations at 4 p.m. on April 26th at St. Mary's in Cumberland. And the following day, I'm going to have the opportunity to have a celebration of my 25th anniversary as a priest at 11 a.m. at St. Peter's Parish at Divine Mercy. So I'd love for you to join me there for any of those celebrations, and please spread the word. It's a great opportunity for me to get out there, and I certainly appreciate your willingness to have the bishops come out there and the challenge that you're giving to us to be more present to Mountain Maryland. God bless your ministry at Bishop Walsh, too. That's such a great school.
Our guest today is Bishop Adam J. Parker. He's an auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and he also serves as Vicar General and moderator of the Curia for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And the bishop's on today to answer your questions. These are questions submitted from our listeners from across the Archdiocese of Baltimore for our second ever episode of Ask a Bishop. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll have more questions for Bishop Parker. I'm George Matisek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Archbishop William E. Laurie is lowering the standard age for confirmation in the Archdiocese of Baltimore to 9. The age had previously been set at ages 14 through 16 in the Baltimore Archdiocese, typically for those in 8th to 10th grades. In lowering the age, the Archbishop hopes to provide children with the opportunity to deepen their faith at a formative stage in their spiritual journey. He also expects that the change will encourage parents to become more involved in the faith formation of their children. The Archbishop said it's his hope that by more actively engaging parents in the preparation of their children's confirmation, the graces of the sacraments will take root in these young people's lives. The change will be implemented in three waves organized geographically beginning in the 2025-26 catechetical year. By the spring of 2028, all parishes will offer confirmation at age 9. Archbishop Laurie reached his decision after more than 2 years of what he called intensive study, consultation, and prayerful discernment. Archbishop Laurie explained that the study and consultation period revealed two key insights. First, he said, the zeal and readiness of young disciples is often underestimated. Second, the role of parents and family is the decisive factor in helping young people grow into adult disciples. Father Mark Balick, pastor of St. John in Westminster, has seen positive results in his parish, one of five pilot parishes that already implemented the change in the last 2 years. Others include St. Agnes in Catonsville, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Crofton, St. John the Evangelist in Frederick, and St. Patrick in Havity Grace. In the past, he said, confirmation has usually been tied to a mandatory process of going through 1 or 2 years of youth ministry. It's basically holding confirmation as a carrot to get young people to go through the sacramental preparation process or to build up youth ministry, he said. The better approach, Father Balick said, is to encourage both parents and their children to experience conversion. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Following the announcement that U.S. President Donald Trump ordered a pause on U.S. assistance to Ukraine, Catholic bishops in the European Union called for unity on the continent. In a statement published March 4th, the Commission of the Bishops Conference of the European Union said that given complexities of the conflict, as well as what it called the unpredictability of actions taken by some members of the international community, it was up to the EU member states to remain united in their commitment to supporting Ukraine and its people. The statement said Ukraine's struggle for peace and the defense of its territorial integrity is not only a fight for its own future. Its outcome will also be decisive for the fate of the entire European continent and of a free and democratic world. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Just 3 months after Notre Dame Cathedral reopened, some in France worry the amount of tourists overshadows its religious importance. The Auxiliary Bishop of Paris said the opposite, saying a large flow of visitors will be exposed to God's presence in the renovated interior. For more on this and other stories, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matusek. Our guest today is Bishop Adam J. Parker, an auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And Bishop Parker has graciously agreed to answer questions from our listeners for our second ever episode of Ask a Bishop. So let's get right back into our questions. And our first question is on the topic of abortion.
My name is Denise from St. Joan of Arc. And I'd like to know how the church is going to deal with the politicization of the issue of abortion.
That's a great question. As we see that a topic of abortion has been a topic that's been in the presidential and vice presidential debates, it's something that has been mentioned so many times on the campaign trail, and it certainly is a politicized issue. It's important for us to step back on this issue from the politicization for just a moment, and even about the legality of the act of abortion. To understand, first of all, I think what's truly at stake here and why this is such a charged issue. From my perspective, the reason why there is so much energy around this issue is really about the concept of freedom. And in our culture, freedom has been distorted from our Catholic Christian conception of it. When we think about freedom as Americans, a lot of times it boils down to my own individual will, my own right, my own autonomy, asserting my own voice, my own prerogative, and that what I do with my life and what I do as a person is okay as long as it's not harming someone else. That's a very common conception of freedom in our culture, but it's not a Catholic conception of freedom in any way, shape, or form. As Catholics, we believe that the freedom that we have comes from God, and that we are free to do His will. And therefore, it's extremely important that we understand what His will is for us. We don't believe that it is God's will that we would harm another individual person. And when we think about what God's will is for us in our own lives, especially around the life issues, is that it's important for us to understand and realize that God's will is that all life must be protected. We also believe that life begins at conception. And so when it comes to rights, we have to consider the right of life from its very, very beginning. And that's the moment that life is conceived. So having the freedom to make decisions for ourselves is rooted and grounded in our understanding of our freedom to discern God's will, to know God's will, to obey God's will, and to actually do God's will. If we give in to a simple cultural conception of freedom that is distorted from our Catholic notion of freedom, then it just becomes really more of a libertarian view. The libertarian view is that I can just exercise my own will as long as it's not hurting you. And even though if you take that argument, something like the act of abortion does harm another. It harms the life that is growing within the womb of the woman who has conceived the child. So sometimes I feel that we have gotten too deep into the political fight over, you know, whether abortion should be illegal or not, or when it should be legal in terms of the duration into the pregnancy. Those questions really are not really the most prime and important question for us as Catholics. What's important for us is why we teach what we teach. And it really is about the sacredness of all human life. And it's about using the freedom that comes from God in the way that God intended it.
We have a question for Bishop Parker that was called in from a neighboring diocese, the Archdiocese of Washington. So let's listen to this one.
Hello, my name is Joseph. I am from St. Martin of Tours Parish in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and this is my question. I struggle with the idea, is it sinful to complain to God when you're dealing with a lot of suffering and struggles in your life? And you go to God and you say, God, I'm angry. I'm angry with you, maybe, God. I'm angry with the situation, and I don't know how to deal with it except to give it to you and to pray for your grace and mercy, but I'm still angry, God. And that is my question.
Joseph, thanks. That's a great question. And sometimes at least part of the answer is in the question, which it certainly is in your case. Taking our own anger to God, actually taking any of our emotions to God in prayer, is always the right thing to do. Sometimes people wonder if being angry in and of itself, especially anger at God, is wrong or if that's sinful. But emotion it comes from the heart, and it's a human dimension of who we are. Remember that Jesus himself showed some anger at that moment at the temple when he realized that there were a lot of people who were using it as a marketplace, and he turned over the tables and he said, stop using my Father's house as a marketplace, and he certainly showed that emotion himself. I think you're very much on the right track, Joseph, when you say you take that to prayer. Give it to the Lord. We should give to the Lord all of our emotions, whether that's joy, whether that's fear, whether that's anger, whether that any of the ways that we are being impacted by life and so many different things that are coming at us in any given moment. And sometimes we expect then that as we take that to prayer, then that feeling will be immediately alleviated. Remember that God is here to walk alongside of us and to accompany us in our everyday lives. But God isn't necessarily going to alleviate every symptom, every emotion, every challenge that we have in the moment that we bring it to him. But the important part, as you mentioned, is that we do bring it to him. Lay it at his feet. Give it to him. And then be still. Be silent. Open ourselves up to listen to God's voice, to discern his will, and then commit ourselves to doing his will in every aspect of our life. Thanks, Joseph.
Our guest today has been Bishop Adam J. Parker, an auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Baltimore who serves as Vicar General and moderator of the Curia for the Archdiocese. And we're happy to say that Bishop Parker has agreed to come back in a few more months to take on some more questions from our listeners. And if you'd like to submit your question for consideration to air on the show, just stay tuned. At the end of this program, we'll have some information on how to do that. So, Bishop Parker, thanks so much again for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks very much, George. It's a pleasure to be here.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matusek. Thanks for listening.
As parents, we want to put our children on the right path. One that leads them to become intelligent, responsible, compassionate adults. That path begins with a Catholic education. Catholic schools inspire academic excellence with a balanced curriculum that integrates music, arts, world language, and Catholic faith, while challenging students in the areas of science, math, and technology.
Help your child reach their full potential. Enroll in a Catholic school today.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
You're probably not getting much church news in your daily newspaper or on your local TV station. The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. There are so many ways to stay in touch with the Catholic Review. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Catholic Review Media will inspire, teach, inform, and engage you wherever your faith takes you. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.